Texas Forest Service of A&M College presents The Three Trees, a dramatization of an incident which happened, so the legend goes, at Galveston Island in the year 1821. There, at the town known as Campeche, was the stronghold of that fearless rover of the seas, the buccaneer Jean Lafitte. Here, where the Isle of Galvez shines, a silver line between the azure gulf and emerald bay, here for a moment shows the pageant of a mimic court. Here gleam the light of orient jewels and the sheen of orient fabrics. Here the strange perfumes of foreign spices linger on the air, and red gold sparkles, booty from the sea. And from his tower, Lafitte the debonair laughs and flings his blood-red standard out.
Welcome, Lieutenant Kearney. Welcome to Campeche and to Maison Rouge.
Thank you, Lafitte. An interesting place you have here.
A comfortable retreat for myself and my men when we come back from a sea voyage. Fetch the lieutenant a chair.
This is my first opportunity to see this part of the coast. I must say I enjoy the experience.
We have a pretty island here. Not perhaps the cosmopolitan nor cultured life of New Orleans, but we have moonlit nights and a fresh breeze to satisfy a sailor's heart. Won't you try some of our fresh fruit? I'll have a man bring in a basket. Antoine, fetch in a basket of fruit for this officer.
Oui, mon capitaine.
And how does the United States of America find itself these days?
It'll find itself, I believe, in better position when I've accomplished my present mission. But it's not necessary to rush immediately into the purpose of my visit.
Come, man. Since when has an officer in the United States Navy had to fear the proprieties? State what is in your mind.
I'm commissioned by my government to request that you leave this island, taking your men and ships.
Sacré bleu! But why? Am I not on present good terms with your government?
It's unfortunate that as long as you remain here, your men become involved in piracy against our ships.
You refer, I suppose, to Brown when he stripped the American vessel near the Sabi River. You know, I am sure, that he has operated against my order. I had him hanged before the American schooner. The Lynx arrived here to investigate the matter. President Madison was convinced I had no fault.
Another of your cruisers has scuttled an American vessel in Matagorda Bay. Even though these offenses against American ships are committed contrary to your orders, it's the opinion of the American government that there'll be less danger of losing American ships if you move farther from our shores.
C'est possible. Perhaps you are right. But it will be with great sadness that I leave Campeche. I will not be taking my Catherine with me. Ah! Here is Antoine with the fruit. Dans les tables, Antoine. Et merci.
A votre service, mon capitaine.
Will you try this melon, Lieutenant Kearney? It is of the finest grown, and perhaps a glass of Bouvrier?
Yeah, thank you. I shall appreciate refreshments. It was stout work getting over the bar.
I shall have entertainment for you soon. I will arrange singing and music. We have an unsavory rascal who knows little of Haydn or Mozart, but plays an amusing gypsy dance on his violin.
I'm sure it'll be most pleasant.
But now, Lieutenant Kearney, to get back for a moment to business. I suppose there is little hope of the American government changing its official mind about me.
And very little, I fear. We've not forgotten the service you did in coming to the aid of General Andrew Jackson in the Battle of New Orleans. But we must protect ourselves.
That was only sport. The British hadn't learnt of Indian fighting. I'll never forget the scene when they marched in even rows in their red, white monkey suits towards us behind our bales of cotton. They had few targets for their musket balls that day.
Without you, General Jackson would have been lost.
And now you ask me to leave Campeche? When must I sail?
At the earliest possible time.
I shall require about 2 months to arrange my affairs.
Well, it will, of course, be necessary for me to return here to witness your departure. I must be able to assure the American government that you have actually sailed.
And if I don't, you will probably bring the full force of your Navy ships down here to drive me out. Well, it is agreed. And now permit me to present something more pleasant than business. If you will step outside, we will have the entertainment begin. Lieutenant Fanny, I am nearly ready. I will instruct my men to burn the settlement, and we will sail with the tide.
I'm sorry to see this little village go up in smoke, Lafitte.
With it goes my career, I am afraid. I feel that never again will life hold for me what it has in the past. First I leave Barataria, now Campeche. Who knows where fate shall lead me?
I wish you'd settle down to a quieter life, Lafitte. Surely you can carve a career in some more respectable pursuit.
The sea has been my life. But enough of that. If you will pardon me, I will address the men. Attention, mes amis. As you know, we have been commanded by the government of the United States of America to abandon this coast. The time has come when we must separate. I have already distributed your fair share of our wealth to those of you who have already spent, lost, or wasted your money. I will give an amount which will take you back to New Orleans. To further ensure the American government that we are finally abandoning Campeche, we will burn the town. Every building is to be destroyed before we leave. The wharves of the harbor must also go. I myself will then sail in my brig, the Pride, with Black and Bill Cochrane following me in command. Black will name those of you we desire to sail with us in the Pride. If those men do not desire to throw in their lot with me, I shall accept volunteers.
I'll sail with you, Lafitte.
Put down John Watkins' name.
It appears that some of you still hold faith to me. Now, men, set fire to the town.
La Maison Rouge, aussi?
Yes, my red mansion, too. And so, Lieutenant Carney, ends Campeche.
I wish you fair weather, Lafitte, and a good sailing breeze.
Look, Robert. Lafitte is mounting to the quarterdeck.
I wonder what our destination will be, Seron.
Perhaps he'll tell us now. We've been at sea a day, it's time we knew more.
Men, I want to tell you my plan. We have shipped together again for better or worse. All of you aboard the Pride because you prefer to sail again with me. It is my plan to sail toward Yucatan, and it is my hope that we soon capture a Spanish merchantman. Fewer Spanish ships sail in these waters than we started relieving them of their cargoes. But if we go on south, there are sure to be some pretty targets for our guns. Any prizes we take will be distributed, as we have always done. Most of you still have a fair amount of doublons from other raids. Ship's rules will be obeyed now, as in the past. I will deal with any cases of disobedience. And to those of you who might entertain thoughts of mutiny to steal my gold, I might tell you that I have brought very little wealth with me.
My respects, Capitaine Lafitte, and where is your great treasure?
My greatest treasure? My greatest treasure is buried at the foot of the three trees.
Robert, did you hear what Lafitte said?
About the treasure, Seron? Yes.
It must be great wealth. Lafitte has never wasted all the gold and jewels from his share.
I wish I had the treasure of which he speaks.
Let's search for it, Robert.
It would be necessary to jump ship at the next port and return to Campeche.
Why not?
But if we're discovered.
Who is there to discover us? Lafitte has given orders that every man must forever leave Campeche. As soon as we have found it, we can go on to New Orleans, then east. Lafitte will never know until we are far away. Too far for him to ever find us again.
How can we leave the ship?
There is a possibility that we will find a Spanish ship soon near Yucatan. Once we have captured her, Lafitte will want to put into port to dispose of some of the booty. We can watch our chance until another ship is ready to sail for New Orleans, some nearby port. Then we can desert ship and sign on to the other ship. Once in New Orleans, we can go overland to Campeche.
I'm with you, sir, on my oath.
We're nearly at the Three Trees, Saron.
Well, this is an easier way to get gold than by taking it from a Spaniard.
I wonder what Lafitte will say when he finds we've been to the Three Trees before him.
Hey, good Lord, what can he say? It may be 10 years before he returns to this spot.
These cursed shovels are heavy. I'll rest a moment before I go on.
I can hardly wait to see the treasure. I'll go along to discover the spot. Come along as soon as you catch your breath.
May we?
Oh, but a few more minutes until I'm rich, rich, rich. No more days on the ocean sea for me. No more cutlasses and gunfire from the Spanish ships. No more working in the rigging in nasty weather. I think I shall settle in New Orleans. A fine cloak and hat and a ruby ring on my finger. And I shall call myself a gentleman. Ladies shall smile at me on the streets and...
Robert, come here.
Coming, Sarah. Here I am, Sarah. What is it?
Look what is under the Three Trees.
A white cross.
Yes, a white cross. And see what the letters say. Here lies buried Catherine, born 1799, departed this life 1820. The greatest treasure of Jean Lafitte.
And so ends the legend of Jean Lafitte and the Three Trees. Lafitte sailed to the south, and little is known of him from that time on. Lafitte's ship, the Pride, was a 14-gun brig built of stout wooden planks and timbers. In those days, wood was used in nearly every part of a ship. The hull, masts, yards, booms, bowsprit, decking, cabins, chairs, tables, and bunks. Today, wood remains an important material in shipping. Texas shipyards use huge quantities of lumber in the building of steel ships. More than 300,000 feet of lumber go into the ways for the building of just one cargo ship of the Liberty class. And many small boats are built largely of wood. The shipbuilding industry rapidly expanded during the war in the Texas cities of Orange, Seabrook, Rockport, Port Arthur, Corpus Christi, Brownsville, Beaumont, Houston, and Galveston. Millions of board feet of Texas timber are used in piling for harbors, in construction of wharves, shipping offices, and warehouses. Texas now has 14 deepwater ports. Galveston, Houston, Texas City, Beaumont, Port Arthur, Orange, Port Neches, Sabine Pass, Corpus Christi, Freeport, Aransas Pass, Ingleside, Brownsville, and Port Isabel. Six of them are situated 15 to 55 miles inland on deepwater channels that cut through the easily excavated earth of the coastal plain. Together, they constitute one of the greatest shipping communities on any coastline in the world, communities whose homes are built largely of wood. Texas manufactured products are shipped all over the world. Wooden containers made from Texas timber are needed for shipping these products. Boxes, baskets, barrels, kegs, crates, cardboard boxes, and paper cartons are all made in Texas to safely carry Texas products overseas. And hundreds of thousands of tons of wood and pulp and paper products are shipped from these same ports. A constant supply of timber can build a greater Texas. This transcription has been presented by the Texas Forest Service of A&M College. The free verse was by Molly Moore Davis. Narration by Fritz Cooler. The production was written and directed by R. Burl Johnson.